It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Yeah, we're so back. That's James. I'm Kyle. Back in studio for the first time in a year and a half. Feels like it's been a long time.
Or 4 days.
It's four, yeah. No, well, I haven't been in since last Friday.
Oh, that's true.
So it's like, what?
A week ago Friday.
10 days?
Yeah, okay.
9, 10 days?
It's always weird when you're not here. It's weird when you're not here.
Yeah, vibes are different.
Yeah, it's totally different.
Yeah, man. So we're back. I need... How do I want to say this? I hope that there is a day soon where anytime you wear a vest, Monty McNair doesn't have to get brought up. My man does not have a monopoly on vests.
Well, I think he does.
He doesn't, though.
Okay. We're going to have a vest day. Whatever. Like,
I want to wear a vest without people being like, oh, man, Monty McNair, am I right?
You do what you want.
I'm going to.
That's right.
That's what I said. He does not have a monopoly on vests.
Okay.
Just like he doesn't have a monopoly on bad hair and a beard.
There it is.
Like, so I have those things too. I'm not gonna kowtow to Monty McNair. Sounds like you had a nice weekend at least.
I did. We had a good night out on Saturday. Went and saw a local cover band.
I don't care about that. The thing that's on the rundown.
But we got home the next day,
nice.
and our friend Tyler Jennings from the chat had come up to go fishing.
There he is.
And it took a little bit, but him and his son Calvin caught like a whopper. They caught like a really, really nice rainbow trout. Because they stalk the lake. They stalk
right.
the lake in my backyard.
Right.
Right. Right? So
There's no access for trout to naturally find their way into your lake.
No, but there is access for a river otter, which kept, because I was worried he was going to steal their trout. I really was, because a river otter pops up, and all of a sudden we see him
you
swimming around.
You have otters in your lake?
Yeah, that, and
brother,
we have tons of turtles.
The number one selling point you have ever made for living on that lake.
I've told you, like, my backyard is a soup kitchen. There are deers everywhere and baby deers being born in my backyard all the time. It's out of control. And, like, you walk down, and you have to be careful taking the dogs out because it's possible there is a...
Dirty Mike and the boys in your backyard?
Yes. Dirty Mike and the boys are in the backyard. It's possible that there's a mama with two babies walking up the hill and will attack you. But yeah, you go out in the backyard. The backyard's pretty cool, and it was good to somebody use it because I don't fish.
Mm-hmm.
But to see
at
them,
all?
No, I don't. Like I've never enjoyed fishing.
Okay.
But to see them out there and like having a really good Father Sunday, it was really cool.
Love that.
And to see him catch like a really, really nice fish. And
yeah, that was not a guppy.
No, it's like I think they're restaurant grade. They just loaded the pond with them,
mm-hmm.
And they're working on the life cycle of the pond. So trout can't live in warm water. So eventually the trout will die if you don't go fish for them. But in the meantime, they feed the bass, which are huge in the lake, and then on top of that, the trout, because they live on like up near the top. Right now, they're eating all the bugs. So it's just helping improve. And then when
it's a
trout,
whole little ecosystem.
Yeah, when trout die, they sink to the bottom. They don't float.
Right.
So that's big because it just adds nutrients to the lake.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's fun. It was like fun to watch him out there having a good time fishing, especially like my youngest on occasion will go fishing, but not very often.
All right.
So at least someone's using it.
Yeah, party on. Shout out to Tyler Jennings. Shout out to everybody in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320 for listening on the radio. We appreciate you as well. But if you're listening on the radio, just because you get out of the car doesn't mean the show's over. You can jump on YouTube or Twitch. You can also jump on the free Odyssey app. We're available there. Plus, the James Hammond, Kyle Madsen show. It's this show in podcast form. And if you're listening there and not live, salute to you as well. We appreciate it immensely. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320 is the Elk Grove Kia Talk line. And if you're watching on YouTube, you just got to Nice shot of a restaurant grade rainbow trout.
There it is.
Looks fantastic. All right. I don't want to spend a lot of time on Friday night. 132-108, the final score, and a loss to Golden State. I was on Friday not feeling great about the direction the Kings were headed and got some pushback for that. And so I guess my question is, are we allowed to be negative today then? Like, is it okay now? Now that everything that you and I were concerned about being a thing on Friday, being a thing on Friday?
Kyle, I keep feeling like it's like people are so angry and like, again, they're frustrated with what they're like calling negativity. And I don't consider a lot of what we're doing negativity. I consider it being realistic.
That's kind of what I thought.
I can't sit here and lie to people and say this and this is going to happen and like, oh, everything's rosy and great and sure. Like, no, I mean, like, this season has been after we got to the initial like, uh-oh, this thing is mm-hmm. not what we thought.
Mm-hmm.
It's been extremely predictable
mm-hmm.
every step of the way, and that's unfortunate. But now we're dealing with the repercussions of that predictability and the fact that this team has like way, way too many, just on the court, way too many cooks in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And so nobody is getting to, like, they just keep
all of the
not figuring it out.
Look, here's where you and I were at, were at least where I was at. I'm pretty sure we're on the same page, but I don't want to put words in your mouth. But we had questions and concerns about whether the roster fit together.
Mm-hmm.
And it has looked lately like the roster just doesn't fit together. I mean, that's 24 turnovers against Golden State, 38 points off those turnovers.
Kyle, when you lose the turnover, the points off turnover battle, 38-5.
38-5.
It's game over, Kyle. Like, there's no way to recover.
You can't. Because that's easy baskets.
Yeah. Here's my frustration that I just want to make sure that people understand. Like, I had this conversation with Sean and Brendan on the podcast last week. They're like, well, you know, they're going to have like a top five rated offense. And I'm like, whoa. What would make you think that this is a top five rated offense? Just because you have great offensive players, that does not make a great offense.
Correct.
And so my point was like, you guys are like way like jumping the gun on who this team is as an offensive group.
Mm-hmm.
Big deal. They all can score. Like, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Teams are put together like this all the time that lose a ton of games.
Yep.
Like, again, the Washington Wizards walked into the season with all kinds of scoring options,
mm-hmm.
and they're just horrible.
Really bad.
Like a 9-win team. Mm-hmm. But that's the problem. When you're building a team, it has to be about fit. It has to be about a puzzle and complementing pieces and trying to find the right mixture.
Mm-hmm.
And the offense right now, we don't even know how bad their defense is. The offense is killing their defense.
Mm-hmm.
If you're getting 38 points off turnovers, that means that most of those points are coming in transition. And yep. you're cooked.
Yep.
If you can't get back and set your defense, you're absolutely cooked in the NBA. And the fact that this team like just can't figure out how to work together and score together, they're just giving away the other side of the court, and it's tough.
That's it. It's the struggles on offense are translating to the other end.
Yep.
Like, that can't... I get that it happens sometimes, but that just can't happen. In fact, the opposite needs to be true.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be, hey, we can't figure it out on offense right now necessarily, so we're just going to go bust our ass defensively and figure it out from there. But it's, hey, we're not figuring it out on offense right now, so I guess we're just not winning today.
Man, there are so many things that are playing into each other, and that's mm-hmm. the one thing that I want to keep bringing up. It's that everybody wants Domas to be more aggressive, right? And mm-hmm. you're like, hey, man, why are you not being more aggressive? The reason why he's not being super aggressive a lot of the time is because He's getting in early foul trouble. He's getting in early foul trouble because you don't have good defensive mm-hmm. guards or wings. Mm-hmm. You've got one wing that can play defense. The other one really does not. And so he picks up a couple of early fouls, and all of a sudden he becomes docile. He doesn't set screens the same way because he's worried about the offense foul. He gets out of the way on the defensive end. Mm-hmm. And so it feeds into this never-ending cycle of, like, how do you fix – what are the root problems mm-hmm. and how do you fix them? Mm-hmm. Because I think at this point, like, we're just looking at the symptoms, and the symptoms are like, oh my gosh, you know, you're giving up all these points. Oh my gosh, you're turning the ball over. The turnovers are wild, man. I have not seen this team in the last seven games since the big trades. They're 30th in the league in turnovers and turnover percentage. They're 29th in the league in assist to turnover ratio. This is a team that, like, was the number one rated offense, a historically good offense mm-hmm. 2 years ago. And it's not even the similar thing, like mm-hmm. what we're watching. And it's really tough because a lot of the problems that they have is that they didn't have the system in place to withstand all of the new pieces and the different pieces that they're putting in. And on top of that, a lot of the pieces that they brought in are so incredibly specific.
Mm-hmm.
Like Domantas Sabonis, you cannot find another player in the league outside of Jokic that plays like him.
Mm-mm.
DeMar DeRozan, there's only a handful of guys in the league that play like him. I mean, that's why he's the king of the mid-range. Mm-hmm. Like he's very specific. And so you start having these pieces that are thrown into the puzzle. And if they don't fit together, there's really no way for it to work. And mm-hmm. that's what we're kind of seeing at this point. Just like an overload of changes, but also like very specific types of players that you have to build around.
Right. Everybody's miscast.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, like, sorry. I think Malik's a really good player.
Yep.
I think Malik Monk is an awesome player. I don't think the best version of your team is one where Malik Monk is your number one point guard. I think he can play that role at times as your secondary ball handler. You'd feel really good about that. But I don't think he's your, like, a number one point guard mm-hmm. who's going to organize your offense and just settle things down. I don't think that's necessarily the case. Zach LaVine, we said, hey, if he can, you know, be this kind of spot up shooter and off ball cutter, like, maybe that's how he fits in here. That's not going to be his game. That's not what he's paid to do. That's not what he's ever done in his what's he been in the league? 10 years? 11 years?
Yeah.
11 years in the NBA. That's not his game. That's not his bag. So he's not going to do that. And then what you just mentioned with Domantas Sabonis and with DeMar DeRozan, it's just not – individually on paper, you're like, wow, hey, they got some hoopers.
Mm-hmm.
But then you watch them play together. It's like, this is not it.
Well, no, I think the hooper thing is the imperative word. They have a bunch of hoopers.
Yes.
But that's not usually how – you can have one or two hoopers mm-hmm. on your team. But fundamental strong basketball players is mm-hmm. something that you have to have
mm-hmm.
and you have to build a system around. So for me, like, it's just a really odd mix of players. And like, look, I don't know how the season's going to play out. And I know Doug Christie's doing everything in his power to try to rein it in mm-hmm. and try to figure out how to connect the guys and how to work through and how to drop back to the basics, right? How to cut back and say, hey, look, we can't do that. But there's, even if you guys are watching out there, you can go back to the last game. There are so many instances where Malik Monk brings the ball up the court and Zach LaVine is standing on like the right side and taking away where Malik would typically go and get in a two-man game with Domas.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't do it because Zach LaVine's already standing there. And I looked, it's not like Zach LaVine only shoots from there, because there are players in the league that only shoot from one side of the
court. Right,
right. We looked, and his shot chart looks like someone took a shotgun with bird shot and just, mm-hmm. like, it's crazy. Like, it's not refined at all. He either scores at the rim, or he shoots a ton of three-point shots, but his three-point shots come from all over the court.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more or less like Malik has to tell him, slow the dribble at half court, get out of the way.
Right.
Go to the other side.
Right.
Let me go to where I go. And the fact that they just don't know each other is a lot of what's happening here. And the fact that they didn't have practice time, and I know a lot of people just think that, oh, it's the All-Star break, they get a whole week of practice. No, league mandates
right.
that they shut the gym down, that you're right. not allowed in. You can go in without coaches, but you're not allowed in to do any sort of practice until the 2 days before games restart. So a little awkward, a little weird, but this is where they're at, man. This is they have to figure out the way to climb out of this hole.
All right, we'll keep talking about this. Talk about what's ahead for the Kings. What Doug Christie's trying to do to get this thing back on track. I need to get back on track with my underdog daily fantasy lineups because I'm having a really, really tough time lately. I think I've lost like 3 or 4 in a row. If you're not familiar with underdog daily fantasy and their pick'em game specifically, it's my favorite way to watch basketball now. You know, when there's a Kings game, I'm going to have a lineup because you can win up to 1,000 times your money with underdog to play. You pick 2 or more players, you pick more or less on their stats, you pick higher or lower on their stats, points, assists, rebounds. They do it by half, they do it by quarter, they do them live. It is overwhelming the amount of teams, players, and stats available to you with underdog's pick'em game. So here's my lineup tonight. I'm going Domantas Sabonis higher than 14.5 rebounds. I'm going LaMelo Ball higher than 6.5 assists, and I'm going DeMar DeRozan higher than 21.5 points in tonight's Kings Hornets game at Golden 1 Center. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Their app has over 100,000 five-star reviews and millions of players. Download the Underdog app and sign up now using promo code KYLEM to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. Join in on the fun when you sign up with promo code KYLEM. Claim your special offer today and get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly upon first deposit. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Void in Colorado. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342. In New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. All right. Plenty more Kings coming up. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320. It is Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James is over there. I'm Kyle. Just us today. No Joe, no Jesse. I come back in studio and everybody abandons us. It's fine.
That's right.
I understand.
At least I totally get it.
I wouldn't want to hang out with me either. No, we're talking a ton of Kings today. Real quick, before we get back into some of the stuff we were talking about at the break, and if you want to hang out with us during the breaks, hit youtube.com/ESPN1320 or twitch.tv/ESPN1320, and we just hang out.
Yeah.
Most of the time, continue the conversation. Gets a little weird sometimes, but it's fine. So we've had this kind of interesting discussion, and our guy Shaka Zulu Galaxy is trying to make the point that, hey, everybody's being so negative, but I think this team just got better. They just need time to gel. Is more or less the crux of his argument. And again, I want to go back to something I said last week, and I'll say this ad nauseum. I am a very firm believer in sports of the never say never phrase. Like, okay. That is, I will go anytime, like, hey, what do you think is going to happen? Like, I think this very obvious thing is going to happen, but just never, never say never. Right. Again, I went there. It's where my buddy Nick Wagner covers the 49ers for ESPN. He would always say that, and I'd be like, okay, yeah, but you have to do, like, you're only saying that because, like, that's how you have to approach your job. Whereas I'm sitting here and I'm like, yeah, but also, like, never. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo is not coming back to the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
And then sure enough, they redo his deal. He's with them a year longer than I thought he would be. And I was out here going, like, there's no chance. There's a better chance. I'm on the roster. Da-da-da-da-da. Like, just went. So, Shaka Zulu Galaxy might be right. There's a chance. There's some universe where the Kings do figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan and Malik Monk say, hey, we need to run this offense through Domas. DeMar, here's the best way. You're going to come off the bench. Keon, you're going to start. We're going to run everything through Domas and Malik and Zach. You're going to be a spot up guy, and you're going to play the dunker spot, and you're going to be a slasher. And this is how it's all going to work out. And everything's good now. Maybe. I don't think that's going to happen based on everything that we've seen since the trade deadline. Based on the lack of, this is the thing that's bothered me the most. Forgetting how everything fits together, forgetting whether they'll start playing better together. Like, sure. The lack of urgency in two massive games is what's really jarring to me. You went into that game against New Orleans, and I will give everybody who has told us that it's really difficult to beat a team twice in a row.
Or three times in four games.
Or like six times in a season. I will hear that argument. But it was the lack of urgency they played with in that game in New Orleans where you let that team hang around, man.
Yep.
You could put your boot on their neck and been like, hey, we're done. This game's over now. And you didn't. And then you came out against Golden State. And Golden State's playing better, to be sure, but losing by, was it 24?
And it wasn't even that close.
In a game that wasn't that close?
Yeah.
Where they just controlled it all four quarters?
On your home court.
On your home court in a game you needed to have?
After you had a week off.
I'm not so bummed that they lost. If they had lost that game 110-108, and it was just back and forth, and you know what? Hey, Steph had a big shot. What are you going to do? That's one thing. The conversation is so different today. But it's the fact that now two games in a row where we've been like, you need this one. You need to win this game. And it was just like, meh.
Kyle, I'll tell you.
That's what I can't get past.
And the post game was wild. Like, we sat in the...
Yes, please, go.
We sat in the media room waiting for... Okay, so the NBA bylaws, NBA rules set up is that two players and a coach come out. And it's supposed to be within a reasonable time. And at some point, they open the locker room, and we can go... We can, avoid the press conference room and go to the locker room, right? And okay. Try to get players. So we're waiting in the media room and waiting and waiting and waiting. And usually... We get a player about 10 minutes after the game.
Yeah.
They talk, and then we get a second player like 3 minutes later, and then we get a coach about like 8 minutes later, and it's all packaged up. It's all done within maybe 20, 25 minutes of the end of the game.
And it's Doug that comes out. It's the head coach.
It's the head coach that comes out. Yeah. And like the reason why it's done so quickly is because there's a broadcast partner that's waiting for these guys to come and talk so they can use that as part of the post-game show,
mm-hmm.
right? So these things are supposed to happen within, like, the 30-minute period. Mm-hmm. We waited, and it had to be, like, 45 minutes. Then they came in and said, hey, we just opened the locker room. We go. I race over to the locker room. Sean had already left, went to the locker room. Me and Brendan went over to the locker room. And out of nowhere, DeMar and Zach and Domas come in, and they say, oh, Malik is going to the press conference room right now. So me and Brendan turn around.
Good Lord. Sean had
another camera person there, so he was covered.
That's good.
We turned around and tried to make it back. By the time we got back to the press conference room, Malik was already done. A minute. Like, so we missed Malik. Then
it's not far from the locker room to the press conference room.
It's a couple of hundred yards. Well, maybe 150 yards.
Right.
Like down the hallway. And like, yeah. It takes time, right?
Okay.
So anyway, we get back. We're like, oh, well, that's a bummer. So then we're like, okay, should we go back to the locker room? Should we not? And then we just sat there and waited and waited and waited. And it was well over an hour after the game. And then finally Doug came out, and we could tell like something had happened. And even when I was in the locker room, to see Domas and DeMar and Zach LaVine walk in together was odd. Still in
uniform.
That's
really strange.
We're like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't ever happen where we walk in the locker room and those three come in. Like, Domas has his whole treatment plan where he's on ice forever and, mm-hmm. like, whatever. So, we go back. We talk to Doug. Clearly, Doug is furious. Like, I've known Doug a long time. He's, like, off the charts angry.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, a really, really interesting post game. Like, mm-hmm. very interesting. And some of the things that Doug said in the post game were just, like, oh, boy. Like, because I asked him straight up, like, about the exact... Like
yeah,
the rotations and the offensive motion, what happened to the flow? What happened to the two-man game?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to all these things? He's like, they're just not doing it. It's all still there. All of those components that we have as a team are still in place. That is our offense. That is our defense. They are still there. The players just, they're not getting into their offensive flow. Everybody's standing around. I don't know.
Right? That sounds. I want you to keep going, but I would like to pause there for a moment. That sounds like some of the problems Mike Brown had.
Yeah.
Where it was like, we've got these principles in place. We're coaching it this way. They're just not doing it.
This was the first time that Doug let that, the negativity of it,
yes,
seep in.
Yes.
By easily the first time that he had said a lot of what Mike had started saying. Like, Mike had got to a point where it's just like, hey, I've been throwing the team under the bus as a whole. That's not working. Now I'm going to start backing up over individual players. Hey, De'Aaron Fox, come on out here.
Yeah.
I'm going to run you over in postgame.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want to make a mistake like you did against Detroit and cost us a basketball game because you fell asleep after we had the conversation? That's not okay.
Yeah.
So, like, all of these things we've seen
play out.
And then
De'Aaron got him fired.
Yeah.
That's a joke.
No.
You did not. Go ahead. Sorry.
Doug, late in the postgame, he said something that I thought was, he said, we have to want to win more than we want to breathe, and that ain't it. Like, what we saw on the court is like, that ain't it. Like, whatever that was out there, that ain't it.
Mm-hmm.
And we owe our fans more than that. We owe the people of Sacramento more than that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't represent people like that. And, you know, Brendan asked a question late in the press conference, and Doug looked at him and said, like, you weren't here when I played here, right? And Brendan's like, no. I mean, Brendan was like...
Brendan was not alive.
Like five. Like maybe three. And he's like, that's not how I represented this city. And that's not how we represented this city.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what my team is going to do. If that's how we're... Then I'll find other players. Other players will play. I'm not doing this anymore. Like, we play a certain way or you don't play at all. You know? And I know people in, like, I saw in the chat, someone said, oh, the Jake LaRavia honeymoon is over. No, Jake LaRavia played exactly how Doug Christie wanted him to. Was it perfect? No. But Jake LaRavia played his ass off.
Yep.
Hustled. Ran all over the court. Did everything that he could to be disruptive. Then he got to a play where he had the ball at the top of the key. Four guys out.
Mm-hmm.
And no one would move. And he had to try to attack the middle. And then he's turning around like, why is everybody standing there? Mm-hmm. What are you doing? And eventually they took the ball from him and it's like, oh, Jake LaRavia, you screwed. No, Jake LaRavia didn't screw that up. The other four guys standing around watching screwed the whole play up.
Yeah.
It was just really weird to watch. And you're watching a team literally just like deer in the headlights on the court. Really strange.
So what did you make of, so Chris Haynes reported on Saturday
morning
that Doug Christie had a meeting with the starters, and that was why you saw Domas and DeRozan and Zach LaVine walk in together. It's why Malik was so late to the podium. It's why Doug was so late to the podium, because they had this meeting. I want to get your thoughts on this, because that to me is Doug doing whatever he can. He feels like he's losing some kind of control here. And this is his, I don't want to say last ditch effort, but this is an effort to rein everything in and try and get his arms around something that he might not be able to corral.
I think it was interesting that it wasn't a team meeting. It wasn't a players only meeting.
Right.
It was very specific. He pulled the five starters into a room.
After one game
after the All-Star break. And absolutely laid into them. Like, it was about accountability. It's like, like, hey, I don't know what you guys need to do to figure this out, but it's on you. Figure it out. You guys are all pros. You're all very good players, and you're the leaders of this group, and if you can't figure it out, then no one else can.
Mm-hmm.
Like, figure out how to be good teammates on the court. Like, they're not bad teammates to each other off the court.
Sure.
On the court, like, I swear, when we have discussions on this and like when me and Kenny go at it, I feel like we watch a different ball game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had the game where DeMar missed seven consecutive shots to end the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only that, but like he wanted an eighth consecutive shot, but Zach LaVine went into his area and DeMar didn't listen and just kept bringing his guy right in, and Zach lost the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, that's his fault. And I'm like, no, that's not. At a certain point, you don't get to just shoot your team out of a game and lose a game.
Mm-hmm.
And for all the times that DeMar's saved them and shot them into games, which, again, he was so good early in that game, there has to be realization of like, it doesn't matter how many points you score. It's not about you. Mm-hmm. It's not about your points per game. It's not about your shot attempts. How do we win as a group? Mm-hmm. And that's where they're at. It's like they have to figure out ways in order to support each other, and they just aren't there yet. And not only that, but like I always talk about the Kawhi Leonard thing. Like the reason why you want Domantas Sabonis and Malik Monk in the two-man game is not, it's not so Domas gets a bunch of points and Malik gets a bunch of assists. Mm-hmm. It's because it's devastating to the other team. They cannot mm-hmm. stop it at all. And mm-hmm. it gets one of your best, most efficient scorers at the rim scoring a highly efficient bucket, mm-hmm. right? It also collapses a defense, so now everybody else on the perimeter is wide open. Mm-hmm. That's why you do those things.
You're forcing the defense to react.
Yes.
Which they don't have to do when it's, all right, clear out, he's on an island.
Yeah.
They might throw a double at it. But I don't know how many different ways we can say like, hey, whatever version of the offense the Kings are running mm-hmm. is just not a sustainable path to success. I get they have a lot of guys who are incredibly talented individual scorers, and when Malik Monk gets cooking, or Zach LaVine gets cooking, or DeMar DeRozan gets cooking, it is super fun to watch. Like, no doubt. Watching DeMar DeRozan just amble to his favorite spots and then turn around and no matter how good the contest is, knock down the shot is like, man, that's fun to watch.
Yeah.
But it's also not conducive to winning. Like, it's not a coincidence that DeMar DeRozan hasn't been to the finals a bunch of times. And it's not a coincidence that Zach LaVine's been to the playoffs, what, once?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
That style of basketball just doesn't really work, man.
No, I get it. But I also, like, when you're watching them play, there is a way in which you can make it work. But everybody has to give something of themselves. Everybody has to, like, take a step back and say, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't matter, like, whether I'm scoring or not. Is my scoring helping the team improve?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where you're having guys like force shots because they haven't seen the ball in 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You're having guys turn the ball over because they're pushing things the wrong way. Like, I think there is a way out of this. Like, I do. And okay. like, whether it's changing the rotation or changing the lineup or mm-hmm. like, I do think that there's a way out of this. I just think that right now it's really, really difficult to like see the forest through the trees for the team.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you have players who've been in the league forever and do specific things, their default settings are to get their own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you have to get away from. Like, the default settings of this team have to be reset. And that's why, you know, Doug said, like, look, we had a moment when, like, he took over the team
mm-hmm.
and where I pulled everybody in and we got back to basics and this is who we are and how we're going to handle this. And I said, well, like, are you going to need to do that again? And he said, yeah. I mean, because my team is completely different than it was 2 weeks ago.
Sure.
You know, or a month ago when he took mm-hmm. over the team, 2 months now. Like, it's a totally different group, and now we have all these pieces that work together differently. And it's not just that, you know, like, player X is new and player Y is new. Mm-hmm. It's that how do they work with the players that are already there?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it becomes extremely difficult. And that's why, like, having a next man up mentality is so difficult to develop. And the yeah. Kings aren't there yet. They aren't there yet. Doug Christie's system isn't there yet. Jay Triano's offense, it's not there yet, where you can just plug and play different types mm-hmm. of players. And if you're going to do that, you have to get similar styles of players that you can plug and play into the system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what they have.
No. We're going to learn a lot about Doug Christie and the Kings tonight. Whatever that meeting was with the starters, Doug was optimistic, it sounded like, after practice yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Said you're starting to see the light bulb go on. The guys are communicating more. They're correcting each other. They're calling out mistakes. Like, okay, that's great. If there was a time that things were going to click and you were going to have a light bulb come on and you were just going to look better, it's in a game like tonight against a 14-win Hornets team that just lost to the Blazers by 43.
Mm.
Lost to the Blazers by more than 40 points. Like, and if you come out flat in this spot again, after this meeting with the starters where you get yelled at, then I don't know what we're doing here.
It would be a tough look, that's for sure.
I'm hoping that there is a performance tonight. In fact, let's dive into tonight's game coming up here in a bit. But I'm hoping there's a performance tonight that provides reasons for more optimism moving forward. I think there will be, but we'll get into Kings Hornets at Golden 1 Center tonight coming up in a bit. We'll also look, the Kings didn't play last night. They got a little bit of help, and we'll tell you how. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader. James is over there. I'm Kyle. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. The Kings taking on the Hornets tonight. We're going to try and look forward a little bit. We spend a lot of time on the insiders from 10 a.m. to noon discussing kind of what's been going wrong, what we think is going wrong. So let's just focus on tonight's game because this is a gettable game.
Yeah.
I think.
Doug Christie said this weekend it's got to be one possession at a time. Mm-hmm. One quarter at a time, one game at a time, and that's how the team has to focus. One practice at a time. That one day this weekend they worked on offense, one day they worked on defense, just trying to get their back to their basics and shore up some of the things that have gone wrong, mm-hmm. especially with all the new players. So this is now we get to see what they look like with four practices over a 5-day period.
Man, I hope it's better.
Yeah.
Okay. This is just a spot where you have a 14-41 team coming into Golden 1 Center.
They're so bad.
They're really bad. You pointed this out today.
So weird.
They're in the midst of a 9-game road trip.
Yes.
That started pre-All-Star break, cut off at the break, and then started again post-All-Star break.
Yeah, so they had 3 games on the road before the All-Star break. Then they got back from the break, and they have 6 straight on the road. I've never seen a 9-game. I mean, maybe the San Antonio Spurs play close to an 8 or 9-game road trip every year because
of the rodeo.
The rodeo, mm-hmm. right? So that's a little bit different, but to me, this is wild to see a team that, like, they got to go home and maybe practice a little bit before they hit the road again, and here they are. In the midst, they're game 7 of the 9-game road trip.
Man.
Yeah.
That's tough. That feels like the league knew exactly what they were getting from the Hornets. And they're like, yeah, just do that. Whatever. The problem is the Hornets beat the Lakers coming out of the break. Beat them 103-100 down at Crypto Staples. So this is a team that can punch you in the mouth. But at the same time, you watch them go beat by an salute to the Chatty House. I corrected my math here. Their 53-point loss against Portland a couple nights ago.
Yikes.
And so I look and I've ridded myself of the idea that the Kings are going to blow somebody out. If it happens, great. That's what I think needs to happen tonight. If they're going to get on the same page, they're going to get on this right track, they're going to start playing better. It's like there needs to be urgency tonight.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be fewer turnovers tonight. There needs to be more hustle defensively tonight, especially in transition. Like those, there. It just, this is a perfect spot where if you need to just look better, and you need to put together a positive game.
Yes.
You don't need to play over your heads. You don't need to play an A++ game. Like when you play OKC, if you want to win that game, you have to play A++. Tonight, you can give me a B and go win. I'd prefer an A. But you can give me a B performance and go win tonight.
Yeah. This is a team that doesn't force a ton of turnovers, which the Kings of course struggle with. They're a team that that doesn't shoot the ball well from 3.
From 2.
34.3% on the season from 3, even though they take the 6 most attempts. They're just mad chuckers.
Just throw it at the rim, dude.
They are just mad chuckers. They also, Kyle, do you see this? They're 27th in 3-point percentage. 2-point percentage?
30th.
They're even worse.
They're last.
They're last.
They are bad at taking the ball away and bad at putting the ball in the hoop from whatever level, from any level. And I also think they have one of the lowest free throw attempt rates in the league. Like, they don't go to the free throw line.
No, they don't. They're 27th in free throw attempts on the season.
Like, dog, this is, again, the Kings have not been playing well enough for me to be like, for sure, need to go win this game by 30. Let's move on to the next one.
Yeah.
It's game by game now, no matter who the opponent is. But, buddy, it's going to be really, really tough. Favored by 10.5 tonight, by the way, according to BetMGM.
Oof.
This is a really tough spot to walk in and not either win or dominate.
You really do need to dominate. You need to bring the positivity back. You need to. You got a road trip coming up again. Another, what, four-game road trip, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this team needs some positivity. They need to. And like, I don't want to hear that, like, the negativity around the team is like, your team
impacting
should,
them?
Yeah, they should not be listening to the insiders on ESPN 1320.
Well, they should. It's a great program, but they shouldn't take like our words to heart.
But the 15 players or 17 players, like, I don't even know how many they have. They're down to 13 again. Shout out Deshaun Nix, who is no longer with the team.
Had a great run.
His 10-day expired. Yeah, they're still short, like, two roster spots. Which I don't know when they're going to fill, if they're going to fill or not. But the fact is, like, this is your group. You got to go out there and you got to play hard and you got to figure out a way to get through and you got to build some positivity. If you guys want positivity, win games or at mm-hmm. least be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, you can't have at one side say, this is unacceptable. This is an embarrassment. We can't mm-hmm. have this. And then say, hey, what's with all the negativity? Well, the negativity is warranted. It is.
Yeah,
just straight up. It's warranted. Now it's like, okay, how do you climb out of it? Show us that you can do something that, you know, like, whether we think they can do it or not. I don't know if this team can turn it around.
We said 7-4 in this 11-game stretch.
Mm-hmm.
You got that is a must. And you lost the first one and didn't play well in the process.
No.
It's like, all right, that's fine. Now you got to go 7-3 in your next 10. And this is a game that's like, this is the easiest game on your schedule for a while.
It's the easiest game on your schedule the rest of the season.
Is it really?
I mean, I don't think you play Washington again, do you?
No. You got Utah coming up, though.
Okay.
Although that's in Utah, so.
Okay, but still, this is a team with, well, 14 wins. So I guess there are other teams with 14 wins.
This is the problem, though. And this is where, this should not be a game where we're like, you got to go win it.
No.
Like, this should be a game where we're going, yeah, they're going to win tonight. It's just a matter of by how many. But it's like, it's just a question mark for me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm taking the Kings minus 10.5, though.
Okay.
That's a huge number.
But you know it's...
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a trap.
Exactly.
So you take them. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
People want, the books want you to look at that and go, the Hornets are getting 10.5 points. Yeah, I'll take the 10.5 against this bad Kings team.
Mm-hmm.
I think they get right tonight. The starters, it's Malik Monk, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Keegan Murray, and Domantas Sabonis. For the Hornets, LaMelo Ball, mm-hmm. Nick Smith Jr., Josh Green, Miles Bridges, and Mark Williams. Everybody available for the Kings?
Yes.
On the injury report?
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte has some big names on their injury report.
They do.
Who are they?
We've got Brandon Miller, Trey Mann, and Grant Williams are all out for the season. Josh Okogie is trying to come back from an injury, but he's missed 10 straight with a hamstring issue. So, like, this is a shorthanded team without, I don't know, their starting shooting guard, their starting small forward, and let's say their sixth man. And it's also a team that when I was writing Hornets starters, I made sure to put all the first names in there because if not, it would have been like, uh-oh, there's a bunch of Greens in the league, a bunch of Smiths in the league, a bunch of Williams in the league, even a bunch of Balls in the league. There we go. Even Bridges. There's a couple of Bridges.
Balls everywhere.
Yeah, I had to write down first and last name. It's not like we could just throw it out there. Like,
yeah.
Because I don't know that if I just put Smith Jr., you would have known it was Nick Smith Jr. and starts for
I would
them.
Have had no idea. I'd have been like, wow, Dennis, back in the league. Nice. Good for him.
You would have been like, Williams. Grant or one of the other 800 Williams. Buck Williams Grant out Williams. There. Yeah.
What so. Is what's your matchup of the game as we move along here?
You know, typically we choose a player, right? And for me, it's the Kings versus themselves. They have to find on-court chemistry. They've got to stop turning the ball over. They've got to, like, move together as one. They've got to figure out ways to play on a string. Whatever you want to call it, just get back to basics. Mm-hmm. Do some rudimentary, like, pick and rolls and DHOs and try to figure out who you are as a team and move forward together. And that's to me, I don't even care about their matchups, like who they have. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a couple that you're going to look at, but I don't really care. Just go out there and play your style of basketball. Figure it out.
If you play a quality game, you're going to win.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. I came up with one. LaMelo and Keon is the one, because LaMelo is just the straw that stirs the drink.
Mm-hmm.
He might go for 30 and 12. And if that happens, it might get interesting. But if you shut the faucet off there, he's going to get his points. He's going to get his assists. Like, he's a really talented player. But it's just, if you can make him inefficient in the process, you're probably doing okay.
Yeah, I'm with you. That would be the one matchup to watch. And, you know, if you can get past that one, I think you're all right.
Can you real quick explain to me what the Kings and Ticketmaster are doing with it? This is such a cool thing.
This is the coolest thing ever. They partnered, the Sacramento Kings and Ticketmaster have partnered with One Court to enhance accessibility for blind and low vision fans. We saw this with a fan in Portland.
Yes.
There's a haptic device that literally, like, has bumps that raise up and show them where the ball is moving back and forth.
Yes.
It's got the score on one side that they can reach with their fingers and, like, tell the score. Absolutely amazing. The video from the dude in Portland, like, almost makes you cry. Like, how many times he has to ask his friend what the score is,
yeah,
like, during a game, and now he doesn't have to anymore. And that you can, like, trace back and forth just how fast the ball moves and everything.
Yeah.
When it goes into the basket, it lights, it vibrates twice. The basket vibrates twice. So, like, really, really cool stuff here. And they announced this morning that that they are, the Kings are also partnering with the same group to do this, to bring it to Golden One.
Every arena should have this.
Every
it
arena should have
it. It is amazing technology.
Yeah.
And really cool that the Kings are joining the Blazers and bringing this to Golden One Center. So salute to the Sacramento Kings. All right. We'll try and come up with some keys to victory here in a little bit. That's James. I'm Kyle. Big game tonight against the Hornets. Golden One Center. Can't wait for it. We'll have keys to victory for you coming up in a bit. Right here on ESPN 1320 and Sacramento Sports Leader. I step aside and we'll talk more basketball in a little bit. All right. 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.